T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
I'd start off at the same thing with Tom. The head guy has to be the one that has to take charge. You know, I believe it's fought on, you know, even with my situation, it's fought on me. It's fought on Tom. It's fought on the team. It's got to this point because Tomlin has allowed a certain amount of things to go on, and rather players take advantage of that or step beyond that. It's got to a point to where it's so far out that now he can't rein it back in, so to speak. And with that being the case, it's Tomlin. It could be some blame on AB. It could be some blame on Ben. It can go around.
It's a day that ends in Y, so James Harrison is back at it, ripping into Mike Tomlin. This time he was on InstaFace. NFL Network had him on the FaceTime.
It's an amazing reality we live in. It's also amazing because that was the most tempered I've ever heard James Harrison when talking about Mike Tomlin. Blaming him, but spreading it around a little bit to everybody in this whole thing.
I got a text message earlier today from someone who used to work for the Steelers. And I'm going to paraphrase it for you, okay? This is what it pretty much said. It is not a good omen, not a good sign, that Mike Tomlin was not included in the Antonio Brown meeting. That they went down there to meet him, they took their higher-ups, they took their people of power, and they left the head coach out.
This was not a player, this is a person who worked for the team.
Yes.
Okay. I didn't really think of it on those terms, just because it felt like they would say it's a personnel matter. Mike Tomlin's not going to be executing the trade.
The coach is involved in personnel matters the same way he's involved in their draft.
Did they think that because there might be animus between the coach and the player, they wanted to keep that away?
I don't think that's... No, I think... Now I'm reading into it. I'm thinking that part of either Art Rooney's conversation with Antonio Brown or the group conversation might have been about Mike Tomlin's coaching method with him.
Like fact-finding from Antonio Brown, essentially?
Yeah.
Hey, what was this actually like? We stay away. It's Mike's show when you guys are all there, so tell us what it's really like. If Antonio Brown's answer to that was, I don't like that he gives Ben preferential treatment, maybe, or that he never takes my side, that's an odd thing for Kevin Colbert to subsequently come out and do the exact same
or
thing.
Or he doesn't hold anybody accountable. Guys show up late for things.
Why would they be picking Antonio? I know, they'd say, well, you're the guy that took the most advantage of it, so tell us more about it. But
exactly.
Why put so much credence in such a reckless person's view of the man? The same reason you'd put it in Harrison?
Yeah. You committed these acts. Are you the only one? What is it like?
Talk to the turn state's evidence, so to speak, for our investigation of whether Mike Tomlin has control of his locker room. Instead, you know, we'll get you out of here. That's what you want. But tell us the real story.
I don't think the Steelers' problems go away with an Antonio Brown trade and Le'Veon Bell becoming a free agent, because I've lost confidence in the coach. Because the more I hear things like what I just regurgitated back to you about Tomlin getting freezed out of that meeting, Tomlin telling his team the rules don't apply to great players, that's now documented. That was the crux of that ESPN story that came out a few weeks ago. The way he handled, the way he tried to get the most out of his team on game day left a ton to be desired. A ton.
Bill Cowher coached here for 15 years, and it was pretty obvious by the very end of that it was time. Mike Tomlin will be entering season number 13. Are you getting the sense then? Is what you're saying to me the following? That if they have another very disappointing year, they don't make the playoffs, and there are soap operatic elements, you think he could be done? You think this is a prove-it year for him? because it sounded you were much more pessimistic about this because you wanted him fired. You wanted Munchak to be named the head coach. And you said, well, it's already fait accompli. He's back in 2019. Do you now believe?
Since
you want him out, are you more optimistic that you're going to get your wish soon?
Yeah, I am, but that's not music to the ears of Steelers fans because of the way you just set up that point. Implied in Mike Tomlin either getting fired or them walking away from his contract, that's what they do. They don't fire coaches. They just say, when your contract is up, you're gone, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then they either make up something like you're going into retirement or...
They decided not to renew your contract.
Yes, they come up with some euphemism.
Correct. It's never, it's financial terms of the deal were not disclosed in every one of their releases, and it's, we have agreed to mutually part ways with Mike Tomlin.
I think there's...
Thank you.
We'll get your opinion on something later, Todd, so stand by. I think that he's not on rock solid ground. He's on thinner ice than I thought initially, and I do think that there is a feeling that they might want to see the contract through. And so to what you just said, if they have another lousy year this year, then that would mean he would have 1 year left on his contract, correct?
Mm-hmm.
So he would go into 2020
with 2 years left.
He would go into 2020 with 1 year left.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you, if they went 9-7 next year, I believe they would send him into that last year.
As a lame duck.
As a lame duck. Or as, again, the ultimate prove it. The ultimate prove-it year. And if he left like Cowher for TV or if he left to coach another team, well then...
We've never been
down that road with the Steelers, so I can't give you like all the details.
Cowher took over in his age 35 season. Mike Tomlin took over age 35 season. Two more years of Mike Tomlin, he would retire after 14 seasons on the job. Bill Cowher worked 15 seasons. It would be 30 years, essentially, a generation and a half, manned by two coaches. That would be in their wheelhouse. That's how they do business.
Do you agree with me, though, not so much on Tomlin's rope and how much leash he has, but do you agree that their problems don't go away with Bell and Brown in part because your confidence in the coach is shattered? Because of the environment and the atmosphere he's fostered? And not only that kind of,
I agree with you because it's impossible for that coach, I think, to change what he would need to change in such a wholesale manner that people believed it. He has made special dispensations for players in the past, and it has backfired spectacularly on him. It's really hard to just change what you're all about as a coach midstream. In terms of player management, you can do what John Harbaugh did this year on the fly, I think. You can change your scheme if you're a really good tactics guy, which Tomlin really hasn't proven to be. He got credit from Kevin Colbert for the TJ Watt Bud Dupree switch, whatever. But John Harbaugh tactically found a way to make Lamar Jackson work. But if this were John Harbaugh manages his people off the field in a certain kind of way, that's a much tougher thing to do.
Like, I just don't think Tomlin has another great run in him.
If he does...
I can't see him getting back to the mountaintop.
Well, then that's a tacit suggestion that you don't think Ben Roethlisberger can get him there, because shouldn't a great quarterback be able to supersede a lot of these problems if you've taken away the problem child wide receiver that he didn't get along with, and you've given him carte blanche? Because that's what Colbert just did. He said, he essentially said, not only is this Ben's team, this is Ben's franchise.
I think it's really hard for a quarterback to overcome a below average coach or an average
coach.
Don't
act like the quarterback doesn't contribute
to
some
of this. No, he does. That's not the point I'm making. What I'm saying is, it's really hard for a quarterback on his own to overcome an average coach. Exhibit A for that is Green Bay since 2010.
Okay.
Right? I mean, we've said in here, and even though he's from here, and maybe it offends people in like...
It does. Greenfield.
In Greenfield.
Gentile actually was going to drive over here and brawl with us as a native Greenfield
we've
resident.
We've yucked it up about how incompetent Mike McCarthy was the last couple of years.
As bad as you thought Mike Tomlin was, you thought Mike McCarthy was orders of magnitude worse.
And we both agree that Aaron Rodgers is great.
Better than Roethlisberger.
He wasn't able to get them to the playoffs last year.
No, I hear you. I guess if what you're saying...
Can you see Tomlin making another run? Can you see Tomlin with confetti?
Well, no, but I've told you this
raining
before.
Down, and he's got that Lombardi trophy, and he said, Stairway to Seven complete, obviously. We've done it.
The standard is the standard, and the standard is what's in
Craig,
my left
hand.
Craig,
can you? Can you see Tomlin up there having rallied the troops?
Guess what? I'm the guy who said I wanted him fired like midway through the past season. I've already wanted him gone.
I have been the guy that said to you either on the air or off or both that they're not going to get back to another Super Bowl as long as Brady and Belichick are in their way. They'll never beat them because the quarterback and the head coach aren't good enough to do it. And I would be the same person to say that you could look at Indy and say there's a storm gathering on the horizon there. Or that Houston, if they can get their act together, there's a storm gathering there.
Well, we know where the storm is for you. It's an hour and a half west.
Don't even talk about that. You don't want to deal with that. That's cyclone. My point is, I don't think they ever see the Super Bowl again in Roethlisberger's career. So that obviously means I don't think Mike Tomlin has a run left in him. I have a hard time picking them. I'm dead serious about this. To make the AFC Championship game again with either of those two guys.
And if they had Sean McVay as their coach, I'd have a different opinion.
Maybe. Because I think the quarterback here might not want to do things the way McVay wants to do them. He has a piece of clay in Jared Goff that everyone realizes now is not that great of a player.
I think Ben, even though Ben's older than McVay, I think he'd respect the hell out of him.
I don't.
They've got the Miami, Ohio brotherhood thing going on.
So what?
I think that would actually mean something.
I don't think it would. He was at Miami of Ohio for 3 years and then got the hell out of there for NFL money. I doubt he has that many fond
memories.
Well,
he went
back
and graduated from there and still donates money.
Okay.
And
when
he was on vacation.
By the Carmelo Anthony axiom here, he must love it and have nothing but fond memories. So wait, you think Ben is the guy who when a coach comes in, who might be a quarterback's guru and an offense guru, yes, who's a details guy through and through, a scheme guy.
I think Ben
would
have more respect for Sean McVay.
Really?
Yes.
I don't.
Because McVay just managed big personalities to a T last year.
Yeah, and the easy thing for him about that was the quarterback wasn't one of them.
Okay, but he had defensive guys who were nutcases, Marcus Peters and Aqib Talib.
Who dealt more with Aqib Talib and Marcus Peters? Sean McVay or ancient and beloved Wade Phillips, who seemingly gets anybody to play hard for him? Come on, man.
Should they hire Wade Phillips as head coach?
Yeah, they should hire him as the defensive coordinator. Would you take Wade Phillips over Coach Butts?
That is a hard yes.
Yeah, of course it is.
I don't think their problems, and you just heard James Harrison say it, I don't think the Steelers' problems go away by just trading Antonio Brown and cutting loose Le'Veon Bell because the coach. My confidence in Mike Tomlin is absolutely 100% shattered. Do you feel the same way, Pittsburgh? 412-928-9370. That's 412-928-9370. That's the Edgar Snyder and Associates fan text line. Edgar Snyder reminds you to text responsibly. We'll pick John Clayton's brain on this at 4 o'clock. Kevin Colbert, did he take back the kids comment today? Referring to 52 kids in the locker room, he went on NFL Network. You'll hear those comments next on the PM team.
For me, being an unquestioned leader, I have no problem with that situation other than the fact that no one is beyond unquestioned. That's a big statement. If I'm in that locker room, I just got put under 52 kids. I'm feeling some sort of way. Even if I didn't feel that way before, like even if it wasn't a riff, you know, on the radar, now I'm like, well, is that really how they view me up top?
James Harrison. On Kevin Colbert's Ben Roethlisberger and 52 kids comment, Bob Arey was scheduled to join us at 3 o'clock today. We moved that because he had an appointment, so he's going to join us on Monday to talk trade deadline. And his visits are brought to you by the Pittsburgh Bottle Shop Cafe and Armstrong Business Solutions. Kevin Colbert reacted to the kids comment criticism. We have that. It was on NFL Network today. But before that, Chris, did you find the kid comment offensive? If you were a Steeler player, not named Ben Roethlisberger, would you have found that comment to be offensive?
Yes.
Why?
Because he's putting me beneath the player, not just in the ways that I know I am beneath the player. Quarterback, franchise quarterback is the most important guy, the highest paid guy.
Championships.
He's essentially saying that without the guidance and leadership of this man, I can't achieve my ultimate goals. Well, without that guy playing well, you can't. But if you're Cam Hayward, if you're Villanueva, if you're DeCastro or Pouncey, in fact, all the guys on the offensive line Ben professes to love so much and be so indebted to, or if I'm James Conner, I beat cancer. I'm a kid on the team. I'm Juju. I just had a 1,000-plus yard, almost a 1,500-yard season. I'm a kid? Spare me. That's what I would want to say. I'd say, like, no, I'm a football player just like him. He's more important in that sense, but that doesn't make him special.
I know that there's a hierarchy in every line of work, but I don't like when one of the bosses comes out and says that there's pretty much a caste system in our locker room, that there's Ben Roethlisberger, and to some extent there's the great unwashed, a bunch of guys who have underachieved and haven't done much of anything, which that last sentence part of that sentence is true. Most of those guys, as far as a team concept goes, haven't accomplished anything, and even if you break them down individually, a lot of them have underachieved based on where they were drafted or what their contract state they get paid. I get all of that. I just don't agree with putting an individual openly above the rest of the team, even if it's true.
What was the use of it
for Colbert?
Because
I think that creates double standards. I do.
What was the use there for Colbert to say that in the first place? Like what?
To publicly support Ben.
What's the utility?
To make everybody.
Why do you have to tamp everybody else down to do it? Why do you have to ground the rest of your guys rhetorically under boot heel?
Because he doesn't like the fact that his quarterback, his reputation is in some places taking a hit.
So let me ask you this. Was Marquise Pouncey or Villanueva or DeCastro or Hayward or Tuitt, were those guys the reason Ben was taking a hit? Were those guys calling the quarterback out onto the carpet? No. He lumped in 52 guys and said they all shared the same basic characteristic, that is, they should look towards Ben as their leader.
Those guys were in some way, though, responsible for Ben taking a hit this year, for sure. Because the defense was so mediocre or so bad that the Steelers didn't make the playoffs. And so when that happens, everything gets put under a microscope or a heat lamp, and that's when locker room dysfunction comes to a head.
That's very indirectly putting heat on Ben.
I know.
He put much more on himself.
Chris, I agree with you. I agree with that.
That's sort of a... I get it, but that's sort of a torture.
Do you want to hear Colbert clarify the comment or at least attempt to?
Yeah, I do.
What I was referencing is Ben is the only player that's ever won a Super Bowl with the Pittsburgh Steelers. And we have a few of our players were on the team, Antonio included, when unfortunately we lost to the Green Bay Packers. Antonio and, of course, Marquise was on that team as well, Marquise Pouncey. So I was referencing the younger players on our team and their lack of experience in a Super Bowl winning environment. And Ben's really the only one that can say that he has done that. So I think there's tremendous value in that. Does that mean that we got a bunch of juveniles or anything like that? No, of course not. We got some really good veteran players like a Cam Hayward or a Marquise Pouncey who are leaders as well, but they're still not the Super Bowl winning type of player that Ben Roethlisberger is. And that's why he is and will continue to be the unquestioned leader of this team, and I still think it would be valuable for all of our players to recognize that. Not only ask Ben about that experience, but also try to help him get us all back to that Super Bowl win.
So, you know what hit me while he was saying that? Maybe it's because of the guy whose clips we've already played this hour. You know who would have been on the 2017 Steelers, a Super Bowl winning player? James Harrison. Did anyone say he was some great leader?
No, he was sleeping through meetings.
Being a Super Bowl winning player, and Harrison had every bit to do with the 2008 Super Bowl 43 win as Ben did.
He was the defensive player of the year that season, and he had 100
yard
interception.
He had maybe the most memorable
return.
Play in Super Bowl history.
Right.
Being a Super Bowl champion, even one who was instrumental in it, like Ben throwing the winning touchdown pass with under a minute to play, doesn't just automatically make you a great, like, a leader worth being having people kind of listen at rapt attention to.
I loved the last part of that. Guys should go up to him and ask him about it.
And
is
what
Artie
can we
Byrne
do for
supposed
you?
To go up to Ben Roethlisberger and say, "Hey Ben, what was it like winning a Super Bowl?" And somehow that conversation between Ben and Artie Burns is going to be so motivational. But Burns.
Well, we
is
had corners
be...
that didn't suck, Artie. So that was one thing.
We had this guy, Artie. His name was Ike Taylor, and he could actually tackle and stick with guys. No, what I don't. Here's one of the points of that. You know, defense that I would want to ask him pointedly about. For some reason, we actually Colbert talked to Colony. He doesn't need to come on with us now that Jim interrogated him.
Jim put his hand up. Question.
If you clearly, Kevin Colbert, you clearly value championship pedigree, winning players, why don't you get more of them then? If that means so much to the Steelers, when they go out into free agency, why aren't they always looking for guys who have championship pedigree. And you might say back, well, they have. Dante Hightower was here, but they didn't make him an offer he couldn't refuse.
Be careful what you wish for, because Morgan Burnett has pedigree.
They brought Morgan Burnett in. He won a Super Bowl in Green Bay. He beat the Steelers, and it sounds like he hated it here. Absolutely hated it. To the point where you could even put two and two together and speculate that he might have been one of the guys who leaked some of the behind-the-scenes stuff.
I think it's there's a pretty good chance that he was one of the guys.
And then also NFL Network said that he wants, in the Post-Gazette too, that he wants a trade and that he or wants to get cut, doesn't want to be part of the team anymore. So I like what you said about championships. If it's all on Ben, he said the burden's on, he didn't say it there, but when Colbert addressed this point initially, he said, the burden is on Ben because there aren't enough guys in that locker room who've won championships. Well, then go find some. Go find guys that have won. And if you think that means so much, then find even reserve players who have won championships before who can tell you, how about assistant coaches?
Find some down-the-line guys.
Chris,
Special teamers. How about Matthew Slater from the Patriots?
How about find the defensive coordinator who's won a Super Bowl before?
Well, let's not get ahead of ourselves.
Actually, Coach Butts has. He was here. He was on Tomlin's staff.
I just think it's way too much conflation between winning a Super Bowl and therefore being somebody who has to be listened to. It's not just listening. It's almost like sit around the locker room campfire while Ben tells tales of the time they won it all. They make it seem almost like there should be... Did he not come off a little bit, Kevin Colbert, making it seem like he feels that the attention paid what Ben says and does be almost reverential?
Yes. Like he's the sage.
Everyone's staring up at him, can't believe that he has carved into the stone tablets more wisdom about how to beat teams
like
in the Super
Socrates.
Bowl. Yes!
Yeah.
Yes! What, is he going to deliver a mathematical proof?
Something else Colbert was asked about today. Are there a different set of rules for star players? Do guys like Ben and Antonio Brown and Le'Veon Bell and James Harrison, are exceptions made for them? Very pointed question, and Colbert gave an answer. You can hear it and tell us if you like it, if you think it makes sense. 412-928-9370. Also, at 4 o'clock, Colbert talking about teams who want to trade for Antonio Brown. Stay tuned for that conversation. I'm Andrew Filippone. He's Chris Muller. Craig Riley is betting on, I don't know, have you found anything yet?
Oh, we got action.
He's got action. And we will provide details on his action later in the show. It's the PM team.
From the team's point of view, are there different standards for Ben Roethlisberger?
No, there aren't. Ben he's recognized as who he is and what he's done, as is Antonio. Antonio Brown is an excellent, tremendous football player, tremendous competitor, tremendous practice player, and there's mutual respect with all of them. No, Ben doesn't have the authority of the head coach. Coach Tomlin is in charge of this team over anybody, especially once they get into that locker room, in those meeting rooms, and on the field. And Ben, of course, respects that more than anybody. Is he going to say some things to some players outside of that? Sure, as he should. He's the leader, and we respect that. But in no means is anybody in charge of this team except Coach Tomlin once they get into the field and into the practice situations.
Follow us on Twitter at 93.7 The Fan, driven by Sharkey Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram locations in North Huntington and the North Hills. Chris's last day before paternity leave. We've got John Clayton in 15 minutes. That was Kevin Colbert on NFL Network this afternoon. Coach Tomlin is in charge. Yeah, he's really in charge.
Do you know what that actually...
He carries a big stick, boy. He really walks in and everybody sits up straight in their chair. Yeah, everybody...
Do you know what I read that as? Do you know what I read it as, Pony? If you've got to say it out loud, much like if you've got to say Ben's the unquestioned leader and then tell everyone why the rest of the team should listen to him, they really aren't. Or at least it's in question. If Ben, it needs to be broadcast publicly, then you've got problems. Which I think you do with both guys. Ben's leadership relative to his teammates and Tomlin's control of that room. I think you obviously have problems in both areas.
I think the Steelers need to go back to just having rules for everyone. and like stop making exceptions.
Is that reasonable in this day and age in any like the Patriots have different rules for Brady and like your Gronks, but they don't.
And the owner lives by his own.
Oh, he lives by his own
credo.
It's very obvious. But I'm serious here. Brady has a different set of rules. He gets his own trainer, Alex Guerrero, that Belichick didn't want other players to visit, but like the better players in the team went to him anyway, and it was they grumbled, but whatever. Those guys just don't abuse it to the nth degree, or it doesn't explode and backfire on them. Isn't that the fair thing to say? Every team has but guys that operate by different
rules. Yeah, but
rules.
That's not curfew violation or showing up late for work or blowing off work or dogging it through practice or not doing your homework. How do I want to say this? I've got an alternative trainer who I believe in and I want him to be around. Like, is that messing with the team concept in a serious way? Is that like
it sort
is
of
that
did.
Interfering with team meetings and preparation for games?
Don't you the Patriots are as close to the vest with their medical reports as anybody, right?
Yeah.
As you're allowed to be. Don't you think that was a big sticking point? How would it have become such a story in a place where it's so hard to get stories out if it wasn't? Clearly, there was contentious feelings. All you have to do is go read, what was it, Wickersham's story on them, I think? The big, or Don Van Natta story or whatever? They had problems connected to Guerrero that were contentious, but they were not as soap operatic as the Steelers' problems.
I'm going to read you something from ESPN right now. This is Bill Barnwell, who... He's one of these, I write a thinking man's football column.
He wrote 10,000 words to pick a winner of the Super Bowl. It took me longer to read his piece than it would have to watch like every relevant play of that game.
Yeah, this is not bathroom reading.
No, God, no.
this is
bathroom reading if you don't want to be able to feel your legs after you're done.
Which, by the way, like, do people still bring...
Oh, I bring reading material in once in a while. I'll bring a book in.
A whole book?
I have a World War I book sitting on the toilet.
Don't you just take your phone?
No, because I can't. I have a book I'm trying to get through. I have a World War I
and
book.
And you're trying to get it done in like 6 minute
Yeah, like a page
spoonfuls?
Or two at a time. It's very dense reading.
How far along are you?
Not that far.
When did you start?
I've tried to read this book like 4 times, and every time I like it, and then you get distracted for a couple days, and it throws off the momentum.
Or maybe you're not as regular as you'd like to be, and you go...
Well, no, you want to not be as regular as you want to be, because then you have a longer time to read the book.
So Barnwell here, ESPN.
Yes, back to toilet reading with Bill.
Did an AFC North column on, I think he...
He went through every division and said moves for every team,
I believe.
He
gave 5 moves for every team.
Yeah.
His first move for the Steelers is trading Antonio Brown. Listen to this twist he put on it. If the Steelers are going to trade Brown, they need to focus on acquiring young talent that is going to help them in the next 2 or 3 years during what would presumably be the final seasons of Ben Roethlisberger's career. Makes sense so far.
Wait. I have to quibble very quickly. Do you think people here, do you think the Steelers really believe Ben's got 2 to 3
No,
left?
They think more. You're
four
right.
4 to 5.
They could use a first-round pick to target Roethlisberger's replacement. There's also a particularly juicy idea of trading Antonio Brown to the Arizona Cardinals for Josh Rosen in a mid-round pick, with the Cardinals then using the first overall pick on Kyler Murray. Now, he says that there is also a particularly juicy idea. Who else has this idea?
I think it's Bill.
He states it in a way like there's a juicy idea, like there's a rumor that's out there somewhere.
Bill Barnwell thinks that if he says it, it's a juicy idea. He strikes me as that kind of guy. He's a thinking man, and he feels the idea is juicy because he has formulated
it. Would you consider a fourth-round pick a mid-round pick?
I always think of third for some reason. But fourth is the true mid-round. There's 3 rounds before it and 3 rounds after.
Okay, fourth-round pick.
Yeah.
Would you trade Antonio Brown to Arizona for Josh Rosen in a fourth-round pick?
I think I would. I was a big Josh Rosen fan. After Mayfield, he was my pick.
Tell me why you would do that. And then what would you do with Ben? You let Ben quarterback the team this year? Rosen watches him, and then next year Ben walks?
If you have,
do you think Rosen's a franchise quarterback?
I think he can be, yes. He would have been the second guy off my quarterback's board after Mayfield.
So you'd cut bait with Ben after his year 37 season and then 38, 39, 40
what
up
is,
the line so, he plays with somebody else.
So humor me here. Whenever people talk about Ben, his like most ardent defenders in town among fans, mm-hmm. you know what they always say? Do you remember what it was like between Bradshaw and this?
Yeah.
Forgetting that the Steelers went to a Super Bowl, mind you. And they always say it's going to be a long, dark winter after Ben retires. The idea being, well, it's going to be tough to get back to the top of the draft right away and find a quarterback and develop it, and then what if they don't hit? Mm-hmm. I happen to believe in Rosen. If you can flip Antonio Brown, a problem child, for a replacement at the most valuable spot on the field, hi, sign me up.
Craig?
I would include the Steelers' fourth-round pick to make it happen.
You know, Antonio Brown and a fourth for Josh Rosen.
Yes.
That would, for all intents and purposes, put a very soon-to-be expiration date on the Ben Roethlisberger era.
I would rather pull the plug on it too soon and get a potential franchise quarterback
than
wait.
That's the old Steelers.
Then not be left holding the bag.
Isn't that the old Steelers ethos?
Yes.
Get rid of a guy a year too early than a year too late.
Yes. You're also, by the way, if Rosen is any good, and I looked at his Pro Football Focus. It's putrid this year, but he's on a horrible football team.
They were the worst offensive team in the NFL.
Their problems went far beyond him, obviously. I look at this as, how long would he be? So he sits next year. Then he'd have two more years on his rookie deal, correct? For you to build. Yeah.
He has 4 years of control left because you have the fifth-year option.
Okay, so you have three more years where you can pay him on the relative cheap. Mm-hmm. Relative cheap.
But even the fifth-year option for a first-round pick is cheap by today's
Correct.
NFL going rate
what
for
we,
starting
what
quarterbacks.
What do we establish now is pretty key.
Yeah, you win with cheap quarterbacks, or unless you have Brady who takes a massive pay cut.
Maybe Kraft's paying him under the table, which I think I saw somebody posit as a theory today.
And that's had a happy ending six times for them. Too soon?
What are we, hour and 56 minutes in today? Craig... Oh, God. Craig, what did you have? The over-under for Pony's first joke.
I had like a minute into the show.
Oh, so you really
shown
messed this
tremendous
up.
Restraint.
Okay. Would you do it?
Yes. Oh, yes.
I think you have to.
Yeah. I just wanted to hear Craig say it.
Okay. You know what? How about I put this one up? Since we were pleasantly surprised that most people, that Penguins fans, A, knew who Oliver Ekman-Larsson
was. Give Barnwell
was.
Some credit, because I know he probably cares about crap like that.
It was Scott Kazmaier who suggested that Belichick or that Kraft was paying Brady under the table just to give him, I guess, credit. I'll make it this point. Bill Barnwell says Steelers trade AB to the Cardinals for Rosen and Arizona's
fourth
rounder. Would you make this trade?
Yeah.
I'm going to put that poll question up, and we'll see what the fans think.
That's a lot back for Antonio Brown, but it's a loaded question because it means pretty much the end of Ben. 412-928-9370. John Clayton is next. We'll ask him about this. Why not? Fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevy. Get a sweetheart of a deal with auto show savings this month. 43 degrees right now, a low of 31. We will address the elephant in the room, Robert Kraft, later in the show. It's the PM team.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.